Hi, my name is Alan from Alan Wee Property. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. In today's video, I'm going to talk about the Johor Singapore Special Economic Zone. This was after the exchange of the agreement on the Johor Singapore Special Economic Zone on the 7th of January 2025, held at the 11th Malaysia Singapore Leader Retreat. The new Johor Singapore Special Economic Zone in Malaysia is expected to create 20,000 skilled jobs for people on both sides of the causeway. The zone for business and investment covering the Iskandar Development Region and Pengerang also aim to support the expansion of 50 projects in the first 5 years and a cumulative 100 projects in its first decade. As usual, this set me thinking, what is the impact on both sides of the causeway? Who will what more? Which sector will what less? Stay tuned to this discussion as I believe this could be a game changer if this SEZ is going to be executed according to plan. Without further ado, let's head over to the discussion. Let me briefly run through the SEZ. The SEZ is located in Iskandar, Malaysia and Pengerang. They occupy a total area of 3,588 square meters. This is huge. Singapore is only 734 square kilometers. This is easily 5 times bigger. The area covers 6 local authorities, from Johor Bahru City Council to others. It also has international connectivity from Senai International Airport to Johor Port to the upcoming Johor Bahru Singapore Rapid Transit System or RTS. This area is also subdivided into 9 flagship areas, from Johor Bahru Waterfront to Iskandar Puteri to Senai to Kulai and even Desaru. Iskandar Regional Development Authority state the 4 key success factors. This includes having quality talent in Malaysia and Singapore to drive innovation, having robust capital and investment. This one means must throw money to make money, plus having a strong government support in doing businesses. Thirdly, industrialization. This means companies must stay relevant in their respective industries. Lastly, infrastructure support will be built on as project by project basis. This means when you need it, we will build for you. Simple as that. As mentioned, Malaysia has ample supply of land. They have affordable real estate, lower labour costs and favourable tax regime. This includes lower corporate and income taxes. The strong commitment from both governments has already said it all by signing the agreement. The authority has also designated flagship area for specific use. This will create synergy between different industries. In addition, they have already improved connectivity between people and goods by adopting automation. One good example is the adopting of passport-free QR currents at Singapore land checkpoint with Malaysia. Since its implementation in March 2024, congestion has reduced and the flow of traffic on the causeway has eased. The SEZ is also exploring enhanced passes for those who have plans to work there, such as the DE Ratau's Norman Pass. For those who are keen, I have left the links in the description below. And most importantly, the SEZ has tax breaks and grants in selected industries. There will also be special tax rates for eligible knowledge workers. Lastly, lower entertainment duties from 1st January 2025. Wow! JB is going to party all night long with fellow Singaporeans. No wonder Orchard Tower closed shop so early. Here, what will happen next? Let me link them back to the property sector. Firstly, more SME will relocate their production to the SEZ due to cheaper land and labour costs. Let me quote you a simple example. Let's say a popular chicken rice restaurant chain in Singapore. Obviously, they will likely have a food factory to process all their live chicken before they are sent to their respective restaurants. Instead of sending the live chicken via the causeway on any hot day, they will rather process them in JB, clean them up and pack them before transporting them over in cold containers. That is why, have you noticed, those who frequently use the causeway, we hardly see such live chicken in open lorry anymore. This means demand for factory space will pick up in SEZ. This also indirectly means higher demand will lead to an increase in prices for industrial properties. Moreover, they don't come on 15 or 30 years lease like those in Singapore. This means more certainty for business to operate in them. Here, when SME move over across the causeway, what will happen? Obviously, close the factory space in Singapore law. When business relocate, what will they do? Do you think they will still need to employ workers with high labor costs in Singapore? When workers are no longer needed, this will also reduce the need to rent a property in Singapore. Demand for residential space in Singapore will decline. This indirectly means affordable housing in SEZ will pick up steam. Do I make sense here? This is only on the assumption when more SME relocate in droves. Somehow I just wonder, when SME relocate their chicken factory overseas, how come my chicken rice in my favorite restaurant still increase prices? You all better don't test my patience, huh? Later I go to JB to enjoy my chicken rice every weekend, then you all know. By the way, Malaysia has very delicious local food. Sorry, I have to say, they are so much better than those found in Singapore. This is the sad truth. So much about Singapore SME relocating to SEZ. Will Malaysia SME relocate to Singapore too? It's no secret why many Singaporeans go to JB for their weekly grocery and shopping. Got jam, no jam, just whack. All of us are already in survival mode due to the rising cost of living. Due to the favorable exchange rate, it's no brainer that Singaporeans love JB so much as I do. That's why I'm reluctant to change my car, because of the hassle of applying for my RFID yet again. When more Singaporeans visit Malaysia and spend their money there, this means there's an outflow of money from Singapore. DBS has already mentioned about the outflow. Potential leakage could lead up to $1.5 to $2.1 billion. If you add in property purchase, this could easily hit $3 billion anytime. This is easily equal to $3,000 million or $10,000 million. This is massive. Our seniors are even going in via the bus load organized by local RCs. This only shows how popular they are. Some private tour operators even have coaches that send you to and from your doorstep for only $5. Yes, no joke. My parents recently participated in one of them. If you want to include makan, they even throw in a one-day tour at only $69. No wonder many of our F&B operators complain of no business. Singaporeans really know where to find good lobangs. This also means if the RTS is up and running in 2 years' time, what will happen to our F&B to service operators? In typical fashion, Singaporeans will do their hair and manicure in KSL, shop till they drop in Mid Valley South Key, buy their grocery from Tesco to Lotus, service their car from Bukit Indan to Taman Pelangi, go cafe hopping in Mount Austin to Paradigm Mall, buy their Chinese New Year and Hari Raya goodies from Johor Jaya to Skudai, and single men will go to JB City Centre and party till they drop. Young families staying in the many farms stay in Desaru at a fraction of the price. All these are not even factoring in the SEZ. The greatest impact I feel is still the RTS. Here, we even haven't factoring in the influx of Malaysians into the Singapore labour market. What impact will it have for Singaporeans? Will employers go for cheaper and younger workforce? Likewise, the influx of Singaporeans going to Johor and push up the cost of living, from buying apartments to grocery to dining in their restaurants. How will Malaysians be feeling about it? Will they be better off or worse off? Will they see a backlash on its political arena, just like in Singapore? Since the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone is mainly focused on Malaysia itself, obviously the 9 flagship areas will all huat. However, not all areas will huat in the same order. Some will benefit more with the influx of Singapore SME. However, I feel the impact will not be very significant, as not all SME have the scale and volume to go overseas, unless they sell chicken rice. Logistic business and warehousing space in SEZ will see a spike in demand due to improved cross-border goods connectivity between Singapore and Johor. When the demand is pivoted to SEZ, what will happen to factory space in Singapore? Will this affect occupancy rate and rental? Is it still worthwhile investing in strata title industrial space in Singapore, especially those that are near both the causeway? If you happen to own any of them, I would love to hear your opinions. For Malaysia SME, they are keen to do Singapore business without stepping foot in Singapore. Very easy. Just open a shop near the upcoming RTS station. Such retail shop can range from hardware, lighting, furniture, interior design, bridal shop, and many others. All the shop lots will continue to hold all the way to the opening of the RTS. Just like the MRT effect on properties in Singapore. Here, we haven't even considered the flow of Singaporeans who are exploring a vacation home to seniors who are planning to retire in Johor. I wouldn't be covering too much on them, as I believe I've covered them in my earlier video. When Singaporeans shop, makan and spend their vacation in Johor, what does this mean to Singapore businesses? I doubt I need to say more. With close to $2 billion leakage annually, this will have profound impact on local businesses. This means local businesses will be affected, especially those that are nearer to the two land borders. Service trade that do local businesses such as hair salon, manicure, spectacle shop, and even supermarket will be affected. When demand for such space decline and occupancy rate go up, this only means retail space will face headwind ahead. This is the same for those in the F&B to nightlife. Singaporeans will chong inside for their supper to have weekly staycation with their girlfriends. You see, even hotel accommodation will what? In Singapore, they can only afford to book hourly one. Over there, they can stay the whole night, shook to the max. Do you know there are close to 7,000 special economic zones around the world? Not all of them are successful. Only some, such as the Hong Kong Shenzhen Special Economic Zone, is successful. Both Hong Kong and Singapore have a hinterland to tap into. That is why the argument is that they are both successful today. However, one just needs to cross over to Shenzhen and witness the rapid transformation of this mega metropolis in China. In a way, it has even outshined its little brother. This also means that if the SEZ is going to succeed in the years to come, it can even outshine this little red dot. However, I think the SEZ still faces a lot of challenges ahead, from its political front to support from the local, to infrastructure work and capital funds commitment. The plan itself is also too ambitious to start with so many on its plates. The actual execution will be far from easy, especially dealing with different state governments and the political will to achieve it. Hence, for the SEZ to succeed, such initiative will only succeed if you have an entrepreneur people on both sides to make it happen. Here, I'm a little doubtful that I will see this during my lifetime. In the meantime, Singaporeans will be going over to Johor to spend, party and enjoy, while fellow Malaysians will be here to work, save and invest. I'm a little concerned about Singapore's ability to transform ahead and keep itself relevant in today's economy. If the outflow continues, this will have a detrimental impact on our economy and also on our property market at large. The only consolation is the inflow of talent into the city-state that will help to support our property market. I know such content may not go too well with people. After all, these are the hard truth. Anyway, these are only my personal opinion. If you have any views, I welcome you to share in the comment section below. That's all. Thank you, and see you in the next video.